Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap episode for this week's Genesis Invitational, and what an event it was. Joining me to break it all down, the coach is here. Coach, have you caught your breath yet?
Oh man, it's been so busy. I feel like this entire week has lasted a month. We've had so many plays, so many wins. It's been a great week. I can't wait to chop it up.
And Greg Ducharme is here. Greg, we were almost exactly right. We talked about the path for Tony Finau last night. It looked good. It looked great. And it ended up being terrible, but not bad. We'll talk about how it went down.
You know, I was only lukewarm on last night on your path to 270. I was like, yeah, you're right. I understood your point and I agreed, and he's been playing great. I thought this was screaming DJ to me. So but I am disappointed that I was wrong. I'm disappointed that it happened this way. It happened again. He's doing everything right. He's doing everything that I personally have been asking, and all of a sudden it stops. I don't know how to explain it. I'm beside myself. I wish you were right. Kyle Porter was in the chat. He was right on it too. I wish you were both right. Probably not as much as you do though.
Probably not. We are expecting Kyle at some point here, so we'll bring him in when we do. And also, the way we normally do this is we go player by player. I'm going to go rogue. Producer Jacob doesn't do this. We're going to go chronologically because I feel like that's kind of the best way to discuss this instead of trying to talk about Homa, then Finau, and all that good stuff. So let's talk about Sam Burns first, because Sam Burns had to finish his final round, his third round on Sunday morning, coach. And then he went out and he is playing well. He's got this thing completely under control until he gets to number 12. That's when the wheels fall off. And to me, he was kind of, you know, he was walking the line kind of all week long, right? He was on the right side of it. He had a couple of great ups and downs to keep himself in this thing. But before we know it, he's going to end up finishing solo third, one shot out of this playoff.
This really had almost like a U.S. Open feel to it over the course of the weekend. Nobody, it felt like was going deep, and then all of a sudden, Finau posted 64. But for Sam Burns, I tweeted out, I don't know, 2 hours ago when he had like a two-shot lead. I said, you couldn't have done this 3 weeks ago when I had you and I wanted done, and I had you picked to win. But I'll be honest with you, I never really felt, and this is someplace that Sam Burns has to get to. I never felt, and I didn't know if it was going to be Finau, if it was going to be Homa, if it was going to be DJ. I didn't know who it was going to be, but I never felt like Sam Burns was going to win this golf tournament, because he has shown, really here in 2021, he's got the game, but there's always that one round where he can't put it all together. And when you put on an iconic course like this that was playing so difficult for most, I really felt like a top five was all he was going to get out of it anyway. At one point, he had, a five-shot lead. He couldn't hold on to that. He regressed. Yep. He had it out to, 13 under at one point. He has to figure out how to play in. And that's not an easy thing to do when you're playing in a tournament with all these big names that are chasing you. You know, Tiger Woods is waiting at the clubhouse to give you a check and give you the trophy. We saw what that did to Max Homa. That matters to these guys. So Sam Burns has some work to do, but his game is certainly right there.
It would be fun if Tiger had to write a check out of his own checkbook and hand it to the guy. Like here's like your 1.6 or whatever it ends up being. This is really interesting, Greg, because obviously we are, we're Sam Burns believers, right? We've been talking about the ceiling kind of all season long, and there were so many moments for Sam Burns. The one that I think we're all going to talk about is what he did at 12, where he yanks his ball left. To this moment, I'm positive that ball was OB. I don't know how they found it. I don't know who the spotter was. I don't know who kicked it back out into play. That ball was gone. He ends up making bogey anyway because ball don't lie. And then that is kind of the end of it. He makes bogey on 14, 15, and It's All She Wrote for Sam Burns.
So so that was on 12. That was the hardest hole on the course for the day, right? Just put this in perspective. This is why we talked about last night, Rick, how it's not necessarily a double bogey kind of golf course. It's a and you said three bogeys in a row, right? This is death by a thousand cuts. And you see 12, the hardest hole on the course for the day. He makes bogey there. Then 14. Tied third hardest hole on the day, makes bogey there, and 15, the second hardest hole on the day, and he makes bogey there. So it just kind of leaks away, and it's so easy to do. I almost give these guys a pass for Sam. Like Coach was saying, he's got to figure out how to close. I give a little bit of a pass because of the difficulty of the golf course. I think you can take this if you're Sam and say, wow, that was a tough stretch, and I wasn't prepared for it. It doesn't mean I'm broken. It doesn't mean I'm less than emotionally. It doesn't mean I'm in a Tony Finau camp where I'm snake bitten from the lead. It just means that my game needs to get to that next level where I get up and down on 12. When I get that break on 12, the greats, if that were Tiger Woods, that's happened to Tiger before, but he capitalizes there. He gets that up and down and makes four. Sometimes he would even make three from there. Who knows? and those are the kind of moments where you can turn the tide with a good break. He didn't do that today. But I still think a great performance out of him. And the way he started with DJ looking down his throat, it has got to be an extremely positive sign. You're staring Dustin Johnson down eye to eye in the final group, and you're waxing him through nine holes, and you know, three tough holes get you, and somebody else from the pack comes up and passes you.
It's certainly something I want to see if this is kind of that confidence moment for him, if he can take something out of this, if he can parlay this into a couple of more great finishes. I mean, he's had a good start to 2021 already. We'll see how it goes the rest of the way. We're going to jump into Max Homa, Tony Finau, and the unbelievable stretch of golf that we had this week. But first, I have to tell you about Paramount Plus. You've probably seen the journey to Mount Paramount spots featuring Beefy Bryson himself. And that is because Paramount Plus is live sports. It's breaking news and a mountain of entertainment. You can go straight from game day to movie night with Paramount Plus. Stream iconic movies like The Godfather, Indiana Jones, and Mission Impossible, and new episodes of critically acclaimed original series like Star Trek Picard, The Good Fight, and The Stand. And get this, it's where you can dive into live sports from us, CBS Sports, including the NFL, March Madness, The Masters, I've heard of that, and Champions League Soccer. Plus, stream hits from CBS, Nickelodeon, MTV, BET, Smithsonian, and Comedy Central. It's live sports, it's breaking news, it's a mountain of entertainment. Paramount Plus, streaming March 4th. Whew. Take a breath, gentlemen. Here we go. Max Homa and Tony Finau end up in a playoff. And I want to talk about kind of their path to the playoff. Max Homa goes out in 32, Coach. He's 3 under par. He would play his entirety of Sunday, even going back to his restart, bogey free, which is unbelievably impressive. And it's Tony Finau who goes out in 4 under. And I'm thinking, oh boy, we got something cooking here. These two guys have a trajectory that if Sam Burns comes back to the field, they're going to be lurking.
I'm trying to remember the last time that we saw a stretch of golf like this, guys, that multiple players every week maintain their form. Do you know what I mean? Max Homa, this is 3 or 4 tournaments in a row that he's been right at the top, but he hasn't been able to finish until today. And then Tony Finau, what is it, 3 straight runner-up finishes that he hasn't been able to, including Saudi Arabia. So for Max Homa, I believe in moments. I believe in things happening for a reason. And I love when a player shows me that it matters. And it mattered so much to him when he was done and the ebbs and the flows. But during the round, until we got to the end, both of these guys were hitting darts, making putts, doing everything they had to do to win the golf tournament. And then you get to 18, and Finau goes left, but is able to get it up and down. And that opened the door for Max Homa to hit the wedge of his life. Yep. And then you have Faldo say it's going to be on the right side. He goes left, and it lips out. And you really felt like at that point, maybe this was going to be Tony Finau's time. I don't know what it is with Tony Finau, but he can't seem to walk through the door. But for Max Homa, for it to mean so much, the reason I do this show with you guys, the reason I love golf, the reason I played basketball in college, sports means everything to me. It's my life. And I loved that he was crying on the last green. I loved that he was scared to talk to Tiger Woods. I loved that this tournament is the tournament that got him into wanting to play golf. It means a lot. I want more of this out of the players. And now he's 10th in the FedEx Cup standings. Now I think he can tell himself, look himself in the mirror and say, listen, I'm not a one-trick pony. Quail Hollow wasn't an aberration. I can play with the big boys. I can play on these harder golf courses. And I think we're going to start to see Max Homa be a legit world-class player because of this win.
I certainly hope so. He is popular, and now he's got the game to back it up, which is always a lot of fun. Greg, I'm looking at these scorecards. There are so many shots from these guys. You know, Tony Finau makes bogey on 15, and I'm thinking this might be it. I don't know if he's got enough holes left. Makes a birdie on 16. That's the par three. Hits one, gets up and down at 17 for birdie. Then Max Homa answers it. He's greenside bunker on 17, hits a great shot out of that bunker, rolls in the seven, 6 feet, 9 inches. I mean, these guys are going toe to toe down the stretch. I'm losing my mind over here.
It was so cool. The shots on 16 that both those guys hit were awesome. But for me, watching Finau make that putt on 16, I said, this is real. I never let this happen, but I said, he's going to do it. This is the time. That was the moment. And Rick, we talked about this earlier in the week. I think it was on Monday, where we talked about how in this tournament, putting is really important. And it always comes down to the moment. When putting is the most important thing, it doesn't mean the best putter is going to win. It means the guy who putts the best down the stretch is good. And Adam Scott did the same thing last year. He gets to 17 and there's a putt for birdie from about 10 feet. And you knew if he made it, he was going to win. And if he missed, he was probably going to lose. And he made it. And Adam Scott, not the greatest putter in the world. Although this week he may, at least on Thursday, may say otherwise.
On Thursday he was.
But anyway,
the rest of the week.
Yeah. We don't need that. I forgot about that already. Tony Finau had that moment on 16. He hits the shot. That's nothing new. He does that. He hits those shots all the time. Now he has the putt, and it's a putt from just inside of 10 feet. It's 9 feet with a lot of break to it. This is a highly skilled putt that requires perfect pace and pressure. It tests your pace. If you can control your pace under pressure, you can control your pace anywhere. And he did it perfectly. It's the hardest thing to do in the game. It's why putting is so volatile, because you have to have that perfect speed control. And he did. And I thought, this is it. He's going to seal the deal. But the up and down that Max Homa made on 17 was just, it was so good. It was so good. And the one thing I wish from Tony is that on 18, he gave himself a look at birdie.
Yep.
And I know that, look, he shot 64. He did everything right. But this is what coaches said, walk through the door, right? Give yourself a putt and an opportunity to say, to go Vince Carter, right? Say it's over. He didn't do that. You leave the door open a crack on the PGA Tour and somebody walks through. It happens every time. So a big step forward for Tony today, but it leaves me disappointed yet again.
So that was the worst shot he hit on Sunday. He was 20 yards short of his probably target with wedge in hand out of 18 fairway. It's a big miss by pro standards. It's a huge miss by pro standards. Right. It's the opposite of what Max Homa did and what you described, coach, which is knock it to 3.5 feet. Now we know he misses the putt. That's what forces the playoff here. I'm trying to think about his mental state at that point, right? I mean, the guy power lips out a putt that he should make for his second victory, his validation victory on the PGA Tour, at his what he described as his Masters, you know, this event. I could not even wrap my head around how he was going to walk to 10T and try to compete with one of the game's best.
Well, you give credit to his cat. What's his caddy's name? I always forget his name.
I don't know.
But he's won with him, and then he was on another bag for a win as well when Max was hurt. And I remember him talking through everything. And I know that after he lit that out, he had his hand around Max Homa's there walking and basically saying, hey, let's forget about that. You still have a chance to win, as any athlete will tell you. And I remember a lot of games that I would miss the last shot and we'd go to overtime. And our coach would say, listen, you got to forget these last 40 minutes. We still have a chance to win the game. And that's the hardest thing to do when you give yourself a chance and then you lip out from that close. It's not like he lipped out an 18-footer. That was a 3.5-footer. Mm-hmm. But what I thought was one of the most remarkable shots I've ever seen, ever, was after his drive on 10, got right up against that tree. And it looked like initially he was absolutely stymied. And then he had to hood the wedge just to hit the ball and get it to aim towards the green. I thought that was the best shot, even though they still pushed that hole and they had to go to a second playoff hole. Without that shot, Finau wins. Finau wins. So for him to get in that mental state like you talked about, then hit that shot on 10, not walk up to his ball and go, damn, how come that happened to me? Instead, he said, how can I pull this off? And that's what the really great competitors do. Not why did it happen to me? How do I pull it off? And that's what he did. And I think that's ultimately why he was able to win. And Tony had a chance on 10 to win. He did. He had so many chances to
make birdie there.
You have to. You have to. From the fairway, 15 yards in front of the green, you got to get up and down.
It was the perfect tee shot. He hit it to the perfect spot, right? And you just have to take advantage of that. It has to be – you have to knock it stiff. Because for Max Holm, if you're Finau and this is a match play situation now, and you look at him, he hits it behind a tree. Here but he's greenside. Yeah, there it's right there. He's greenside. He's not – just because he hit it behind a tree doesn't mean he's going to make bogey. He's going to make – he can chip that out. Even if he executes it nowhere near as well and doesn't get it on the green and gets it into the fairway short of the green, hits it backwards. He can hit it backwards 30 yards and have a relatively easy up and down. So your mindset, if you're Finau, has to be, I need birdie. Birdie will win. His mindset seemed to be, oh, I just got the break I needed. Par is going to get the job done. And you can't think that way on tour.
But okay, so I agree with you, Greg. But that seems like a silly thing. So we're looking at Brewster Jacob has the shot pulled up right here. This ball, I want to ask you two questions, Greg.
Yeah.
I know the answer to one. How hard? I mean, this is unbelievable what he was able to do, right? To kind of turn the club over, get it to hang on to the front of the green, and at least give himself a look at birdie to mere mortals like myself is impossible. And I also agree with your assessment about when Tony Finau saw this position that Max Homa was in, he's probably playing for par, but he went after Homa. He knew what he had to do. Like, I don't know. It was really awkward. It's almost like he didn't change his game plan after he saw Homa was going to have, 12 feet for birdie?
Right. It's almost like does it rattle him is the question. Mm. First of all, for that shot, I think it's a doable shot if you understand how the club face works, right? You close the club face before you even get in.
That's my problem.
No, look.
I don't understand how the club face works.
Yeah, actually, I saw your swing. We got to talk about it.
Club face there.
That's for another show. Maybe we have an emergency pod next time you go to Top Golf. But so a lot of that's preset, honestly. You close the face before you even get there. And it in a way, look, it's great to get it on the green. There's still great touch. I'm not taking away from the shot at all, but he's not completely stymied where there's nothing. He can get it to the front portion of the green somewhere and make four. Four is very good from there, but having the birdie putt was what made it great. So yes, great shot. Making four, I think, was very doable from that spot for a PGA Tour player. So for Finau, it's not that somebody hits a great shot against you in match play. You have to expect it, right? You always expect your opponent to make it. When you're sitting 12 feet away, your opponent's 50 feet away, you're both putting for birdie, your mindset has to be, I need to make this to win the hole, because he's going, or to tie the hole, he's going to. So if it goes in, you're not surprised. Homa gets it on the green. Finau's, I don't know if he's surprised. He doesn't look surprised, but you can't be surprised there, because your mindset shouldn't ever change. I'm going to have to make this putt to either continue or to win, and I'm going to end it right now. If he gives me the opportunity to end it, this is going in no matter. My putt's going in. I'm making it. Or my pitch shot is going to, I'm going to knock this stiff and put the pressure on him. So that's kind of where I feel like it wasn't aggressive of a mindset enough, where he didn't seal the deal in the opportunity when he could have. And that's the disappointing spot. He's so close, right? He lasts for 17 holes. For 17 holes, he does exactly what he's supposed to do. Shoots 64. And on the 18th hole in regulation, he comes up 20 yards short with an opportunity to seal the deal. And in the playoff, on a 280-yard hole, he's unable to make birdie to seal the deal. And this is not easy to do. I'm not saying it's easy, but in order to win, you have to do it. And it's not easy to win, but you need to do, you need to go above and beyond. It's like getting a tip at a restaurant. You don't get a tip for working at the rest. You get a tip for extraordinary service. So to earn that tip, you got to do something above and beyond. And we're not getting the above and beyond all the way through. He's not finishing the job all the way for Tony Finau. Tip your bartender.
They both make par at 10 and head over to 14, where Tony Finau yanks it left, dunks it in the bunker, can't get up and down, and Max Homa makes par. Before we bring Kyle Porter in, who I cannot wait to do so, Coach, I want to get your thoughts on this because I like the match play angle that we are going down here, which is like, you also can't make bogey when you're in kind of a match play setting and let a guy beat you with a par, right? You got to at least make him beat you with a par.
Well, I think I want to give credit to Homa in this situation, because after Finau went in the bunker, it would have been very easy for him just to hit it to the center of the green and play for a par. He didn't do that. He hit it to the left of the flag in between the bunker and the flag. That was a gutsy shot, I felt. But again, for Finau, I'm trying to figure out, and my heart just bled for him when he's standing on that green afterwards and talking to Dottie Pepper, and he's like, I'm sure I'm not even registering right now. I felt like his head was in a daze. I feel like at this point, he's come so close so many times that he can't figure out why he's not doing it. And then for it to end this way, for everything that we've talked about to happen, and for Max Homa to hit the shot that he needed to hit, I felt like the right guy won today. But for Tony Finau, how do you hit it in that bunker? You got to play for a par, play to the middle of the green, and then if you tug it a little bit, that's fine. But he tugged it straight off the tee, and that was just a bad shot, and it cost him the golf tournament.
Max Homa is going to move into the top 50 in the world. He is going to qualify for next week's WGC Workday Championship. Kyle Porter is joining us. KP, say hello to the audience so they know your voice, please.
What's up?
Say a little bit more. Yeah, that's better. Okay. So,
Kyle,
there are many things that I want to talk about. There are many things I want to get your thoughts on. We've covered the Sunday. We've covered the final round. We've covered the playoff. Now we are into the portion of this show where we talk about what this means moving forward. Kind of chatted a bit about Max Homa. So let's do Tony Finau. I agree with Coach. Tony Finau is going to say the right thing. It's almost like he is so programmed to know exactly what to say when he finishes second. I'm dying for the interview, KP, when he gets to give us the real emotion, not like I'm just so happy to be here or whatever. Like it was almost just like pull a string and let's listen to it on repeat.
Yeah. It kind of felt, I go back and forth on this because you don't want, I don't know. We always criticize guys for like popping off and being, you know, morons or whatever, but you want a little fire, I think. And it just feels like, oh, I just, you know, lost again. It's like, oh my, like I feel like I'm feeling more emotion than you are. And yes, maybe that's, yes. I don't know. Maybe that's a good thing. Like you shouldn't be all over the place as a golfer, obviously, but I don't know. Like whatever the connection, there's a connection between kind of the way he talks after losing and the way he plays on Sundays normally. And look, like I said this on HQ, there's nothing negative to say about a 64 on Sunday. This is what, you know, we were texting about this. Greg was like, this is the variance that you want on a Sunday where you, yeah, maybe you bring 75 into play because you're going for everything, but you bring 64 into play as well. And that's like what I've been getting at a little bit, and that he lost. I don't know. This one, I don't categorize this one like the rest of them. The putt on 10 was kind of weak. Like that's where you got to take advantage. Like that whole sequence of just trying to get up and down was just show me some, just go get it. You know, I don't know. It's easy for me to sit here in my stupid content shed and say it, but I don't know. There's just something missing there.
Yeah. Rick, this is the same. I categorize this exactly the same as all the rest of them. This is really? Just like we, yes, no. This is what we talk about with Xander Schauffele, right? Xander wins the shadow leaderboard, but you can't count that because he's not near. If he's allergic to the lead, Well, he doesn't know that he's in the lead. He's not counting that. So it plays into the point. Remember, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. This is the same thing. He plays great when he's not near the lead. All of a sudden, towards the end, when he is near, has a real chance of winning, he really has that chance. And on 18, all he has to do is make birdie and seal the deal. It's over if he makes birdie there. At least,
how many birdies were there on 18?
Okay.
I know, but you have to give yourself a putt, right? He missed his target by
it was a really bad shot.
It was
by far the worst shot he hit. Here's the thing. So Tony should have done better on probably one or two shots, the approach into 18, coach, the putt on 10 in the playoff. But I do think they are different because Tony Finau was T5 before round four started. He made 8 birdies and shot a 64. What else are we supposed to ask him to do? This was not a Sunday failure in my mind.
Well, I understand.
you have to give yourself a chance. You have to give yourself a chance to make a putt on 18, and I believe that that's what he was trying to do. That's why he yanked it left. I think he was trying to go for it because he probably felt in his mind that somebody's going to catch me from behind, either Homa or Burns, and that's why he missed it to the left. But just like both of these gentlemen have said, at some point you've got to take care of your business when it's given to you, and it was given to him on 10. And at some point, and I want to get everybody's take on this, He's going to win over $500,000 for the third straight day. At some point, stacking cash isn't enough. He's rich. We know that. But he's got to go home by himself and look in the mirror. And at some point, if it were me, I would break down to be like, what do I have to do? Because in my chosen profession, I'm one of the greatest in the world. But yet people are looking at me not as a winner, but as a guy who just makes money. And in the world of golf, we know nobody wants to be looked at like that. They want to be looked at as a champion. And he's playing championship golf. He played championship golf today, 64 on Riviera. Very few ever do that. But he didn't get it done. So right now the narrative that we're talking about is that he can't get the job done when he took apart one of the hardest golf courses in the world that other people couldn't even sniff par on. And that's unfortunate.
Somebody tweeted this. I forgot who, but they said the worst thing that happened to Finau was Homa missing the putt on 18. Because it brought the four on 10 that I was talking about earlier into play. So if he just goes out, she's 64, it's like you whatever. You know? But the fact that Homa's against the tree on 10.
And you
don't get up and down from there. I feel like I watched 10 all week and guys are getting up and down from everywhere and he's not in a hard spot. Like he was not, it was right there in front of him and the up and down attempt was just so weak. It was so weak. And it was
easiest pin of the week. Easiest pin of the week too. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah.
That's why this is exactly why I put it in the same category. Because we know, like the 64 on the really hard golf course it speaks to the talent that he has, which we know he has. And the reason why Rick and Kyle were so high on him going into today was, well, he's going to sneak up on this post and not even realize, he'll never have a chance to realize he's near the lead. So it'll take his weakness out of it. This is like Xander winning the shadow leaderboard. You think you're losing and you end up winning, right? You don't even know. So it takes that moment away. But all of a sudden when the moment is real and it's there, it goes the other way. And it's no different than him shooting 68 when he's tied for the lead going into the final day and somebody else shoots 64. Right? And he just kind of is a little bit slower and is too consistent, too steady, right? It's the same thing because it's all about how you handle the moment that's in front of you. And when he gets there on 18, on 10, on 16, both of those being playoff holes, he falters. And the game goes from a guy who shoots 64 to a guy that on Thursday would have missed the cut. So it's disappointing to me. It's still disappointing.
I think it's so weird that somebody who's like the ninth best guy in the world at his job, we're like, he can't get it done.
Yeah.
And like, I know the world golf rankings aren't everything, but It's just such like golf is so weird in that sense. I don't know that that's true in, I'm sure it's true in some other professions. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but if I'm the ninth best accountant in the world, people are like, this guy's unbelievable. See him do my taxes.
Yeah. State and federal. He can do it all. This guy's got it under control.
But with Finau, we're like, not a winner. And it's like, I get it. I get the whole deal, but Coach said it, 64 at Riv on Sunday in that field. I don't know. But I agree with what Greg is saying also. Like, I don't disagree with you, Greg. I think what you're saying is a really, really good point. It's just such a conundrum. I don't know what to do with that.
I know it is.
All right. So Coach, how do you reconcile this? A guy who shoots a 64 on Sunday, where if he just shoots a 69, we're not even talking about him at all. Yeah. Shoots a 64 to get himself in this position, but then has the moment that we've seen before. Like it is hard to reconcile.
It's hard to reconcile. And I think Tony Finau, when it's all said and done, is going to look back on his career. And I think all of us who, whether you have a family or not, the thing as a father and a husband, you want to take care of your family as best you can. And he's doing that better than 99% of the world. But at some point, you want to have that pride. And you got to say to yourself, what am I not doing? He needs to sit down with his coach and say, what am I not doing? Am I not showing enough fire? Because I love players that show me something. I love players that give me a little fist pump on 17 when you hit that birdie to take a one-shot lead. Show me that it matters to you. Maybe he needs to do that more. Maybe he needs to tell himself before the round, this is my day. This is going to be – nobody's beating me, because he's just so too cool for school all the time. And he's standing there after just losing again, and he's like, I can take a lot of positives from it. I would rather him say, I'm pissed. I should have won. I had the chance. I didn't deliver. I'm disappointed in myself. But he didn't do that. He said, I just shot a 64. And I think that's what I want to change.
Last
thing on Charmin.
Oh boy,
he does seem he seems a little detached from like what just happened. And
yes,
maybe that might be a defense mechanism. Like that might be him like just throwing up a defense mechanism of like, I don't want to mentally engage with like what's going on right now. And I do that all the time in my life. So I'm sure that that's probably. What's so funny, Craig?
I think we all do.
All the time in my life.
Comparing myself to Tony Finau?
Yeah.
Same thing. Where there's too many dishes in the sink, you just go into the living room and head to the
concert. Yeah. When one of the three of the kids, however many, are just acting a fool, like, just
walk away.
So, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but there is some sort of detach. And I'm curious to see if he had won today. This is the part that I'm curious about, and I don't know. Does he break down? Does he do the same thing that Homa did, or is he still detached even if he wins? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is.
Number two is he doesn't break down. I don't think he has it in him. I've said this about LeBron James his entire career. That's why people don't consider him the greatest, because he doesn't have a killer instinct, even though he's great and his numbers are great. I don't think Tony Finau has the killer instinct, and I think it's that simple to walk through the door and step on somebody's neck and keep the foot there.
So last thing on this, we'll move on. We got to talk about Tiger a little bit here. So I like this mindset, Coach, which is like, okay, he either has it or he doesn't. Can we add this? Can we do that? That's the thing I want to mine into a little bit here, Greg, because like, you know, people say Jon Rahm is too emotional, but if we remove that emotion, is he Jon Rahm? If we add the quote unquote killer instinct, or maybe this non-calm, cool and collective version of Tony Finau, is he still Tony Finau? Like it's not as easy as just like taking this, adding it to that, subtracting this and go on your way.
It's like, you're right. It's like Fowler. It's like Ricky Fowler.
Yes. Yeah, very, very similar. Very similar. And you're right. There's a balance here, right? Because some of it, there are moments where it really works for him, and all of a sudden it becomes a great asset that he stays so calm and cool. And then on the other side, there's a time where you wish he had a little bit more, and not everybody's going to be perfect, right? And with Rahm, most of the time that emotion's really, really beneficial and positive. But when he's in a bunker on the 11th hole at TPC Sawgrass, all of a sudden it's not so beneficial. So you're right, Rick, and it's a really fine line. But you want to always be improving. And the thing I wonder with Tony is, what is he doing to get over this hump. I know that they were talking about some short game, working on the short game a little bit extra, trying to get that one extra up and down. But what are they doing in the mental approach to try to take the next step? Because Webb Simpson went through the same thing. Webb Simpson talked at length with Butch Harmon about this, and he talked with us about this right after he beat him at the Waste Management Phoenix Open in a playoff, because his record in the playoffs was terrible. He was like 0-5. And he had to be more aggressive right from the start. He felt like when he got into playoffs, he was either going to be first or second. So it was like an exhale. And he learned to be more aggressive. He went out, and the next time he was in a playoff, made birdie on the first hole and won. And there's just something about it. Maybe it is the killer instinct, coach. I don't know. It's something you got to go take it. And it's never going to just come to you. It's not going to happen. So I don't know. It's like you feel like if he was in Sam Burns' shoes going into the day, the same thing would have happened. He would have lost in a playoff. That's the disappointing thing to me.
Let me jump in real quick, because my daughter has a killer instinct, and I have a date with her tonight. She's 12. And so
you're going to be in trouble.
So I have to go, and I'm going to take her out. But I love you guys. Thank you so much. And I know you guys are cool with that. So we'll see you on Tuesday, all right?
Enjoy, Coach.
That's the coach. Enjoy. Follow him on Twitter at the coach rules. KP, you know, we got to get to a break here, but I think we have to do a little bit more justice for our champion, Max Homa. He called this event his Masters, right? This is the event that he's always wanted to win. He now forces Tiger Woods to say hi to him, which I thought was like a great little comment in the post. And anytime you can get a grown man crying on a putting green, I'm all in for that.
Real quick, Webb might be a killer, Greg. That might just be your answer there.
Well, my point is he had to learn. I think he had to learn. I don't think it's you're necessarily born with it, but it's a fascinating question.
For sure. I want to do this real quick on Homa. I thought that so he said in his post-round interview, he starts crying. He said, I didn't see this coming. I'm like, well, everybody else did. Because this is like, I saw that coming. Like, if you would have said, is Max Homa going to cry if he wins? I'd have been like, yes, 100% he's going to cry, because this is so meaningful in the macro. And you guys probably talked about this, but I wanted to just say it real quick. It's like, not all like DJ winning in Saudi Arabia and Max winning Riviera is very different. Like, not all of these events are created equal. And we do this thing, and it's justified for the most part, where we make the major championships way more important than everything else. And there's some truth there. But man, it was cool just to see how meaningful it was for him to win an event that made him fall in love with golf, and that he went to with his family growing up, and to do it the way that he did, where his wife's calling him between the 18th hole in the playoffs saying, hey, you need to forgive quickly. And you're like, we kind of joke that he's like the people's champ, but he kind of, there's like a reason for that. It's not just because he like roasts people's swings on Twitter. Like he cares at a level that I don't know that most pros get to. And he cares about a place like Riviera at a level that I don't think anybody gets to at most courses, other than maybe major championships. So I thought that was moving. I thought it was meaningful. And I thought it was a reminder that so much of this stuff outside of the majors really, you know, can mean a lot.
City of Champions, Dodgers, Lakers, and Max Homa. That's
great.
What he said. That is absolutely awesome. Guys, we got a Tiger sighting on Sunday. We've got to talk a little bit about this new, old, moved, weird WGC event that we have next week. And we've got to give our odds and ends, our one and done update. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we're back. Tiger Woods was in the booth, a booth at Riviera on Sunday. Greg, he looked in the camera and he told us he has one more MRI and he hasn't done much in the way of golf other than lengthening his putter to the length of his sand wedge. We are 46 days away from the Masters. How confident are you that Tiger plays?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask how confident I was that he was going to win.
Okay. Then I guess, I don't know. Yeah, either one, whichever way you want to
I guess they go hand in hand. I'm not overly confident at all. I imagine that he will play in the Masters, but what kind of form is he going to be in? It's probably not going to be great. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the lengthening of the putter. He did that before. It didn't work. I like when he's got his, for practice, it's one thing, but that's not news. So, and I thought he was hitting balls. I read like weeks ago that he was already back to hitting balls. Apparently he's not. So, little concerning. I'm not very optimistic. I'm not optimistic at all for this season. I don't think since he's missing this stretch, I don't know when we're going to see, are we going to see him play four times? How many events is he really going to play this year? I think it's probably under eight.
Oh, I would smash under eight if you want to lay that line.
Rounds, I think, or events?
Rounds Shots? Would be a good line. Rounds would probably be a good line if he plays four times. KP, this, I'll tell you what, I watched this interview. I didn't like what I saw. I did not like it. I did not like the words that I heard. I think he said, I'm still doing the mundane things that you have to do when you're going through rehab. He does his usual question dodging and I'll make a joke about lengthening the putter and all that stuff. And he plays it closer to the vest than anybody. So maybe he's fooling us, but 46 days is not a lot of time. And I am concerned.
The texts that were going on behind the scenes, not just with us, but with just the broader golf media community, were not good. And it's because Tiger was not good. Like, can we just call it what he looked terrible? Like, mm-hmm. Is it okay to say that? I think everybody was thinking that he has these moments where he's out, he does these, you know, he'll go out and public and do interviews or whatever. And it's like, yeah, like, should we be doing this right now? He didn't look good. And I thought, Greg, I love Greg.
The Greg chuckle is always, it's only second to the Doug Bell chuckle. Those are my two favorite chuckles.
But you guys are funny. What can I do?
The most concerning thing was what he said at the end of the interview. I said this on HQ. He said, there's not a lot of wiggle room for me. And the thing that I tied that back to, there's a great article in the New York Times. This was right after he won the 2019 Masters. I think it was during the PGA at Bethpage. And I'll never forget reading it on the bus to get to go to Bethpage one day. And it was talking about how I got like people, humans that have their spines fused together, which is what Tiger did. That's not it. Like there's more surgeries after that. Especially if you're doing anything, but especially something like what he's doing. And so this was the first of what is probably going to be multiple procedures. I don't know how intense or in-depth they all are, but I thought that he kind of put words to that thing that I had been thinking about since 2019 at Bethpage, which is there's not a lot of time left because there's not a lot left in like literally in my back. And I think that's the part where you're like, is that it? Like, is that the, you know, I don't think so. I think he'll play again, but I do think the more we hear about this and the more we see him talk about it, the more obvious it becomes that the 2019 Masters was kind of the final apex. And that's fine. Like, that was a tremendous final, like, last hurrah. I think
we had to get, like, the Zozo, like, that next little blip in there.
That was crazy. But, like, just the fact that it started at the Masters and ended at the Masters is cool symmetry.
But do you really, I mean, think about how crazy this is. When he won at Zozo, he was no brainer, definitely going to break Snead's record. It was just a matter of if he was going to catch Jack, right? Is he going to, is he going to catch Jack? That was the, and now all of a sudden is he going to play? How many more tournaments is he going to play? I don't know if he's going to play enough majors to catch Jack, let alone win them. So it changes so quickly with Tiger. If we get a tournament of health and he shows us form, we're all right back on the bandwagon, which is probably why.
Yeah. That's fair. But I think the words you heard from Rory in, was it Abu Dhabi, where he was like, yeah, he's walking the day after. And seems like, I'd be surprised if he wasn't at the Masters. And then what I saw and heard from Tiger today, that doesn't match up, does it?
No, it doesn't. And it doesn't feel, it feels like it's the end. It really does. It doesn't feel like we're going to have much more in the tank for him. So I don't know. It's very strange. If he's healthy, do you guys think he makes the or gets selected to the Ryder Cup team if he's healthy?
No, I hope not.
Fully healthy.
I hope not. No.
I do. The Ryder Cup team is so stacked. Like, I'd rather leave someone off that team. Yeah. Healthy, do you want to hear the Ryder Cup?
For sure. Every time we bring this up, I want to hear it.
It's absolutely stacked. Here are the current six. So it's six and then captain's picks. Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa. That's locked and loaded.
That's here, filthy.
So here are the next six.
Can I guess like Berger, Reed? Yes. Help me out here, Greg.
I'm missing a big one. Finau.
Finau. Is that the big one?
No. Guy who's like got like three top fives.
English.
Actually,
Webb.
Webb's in there. English is 12. There's one guy you're missing, and he's shot two course records in the last 3 weeks.
Cantlay.
Cantlay.
Oh, okay.
There's your 12.
If they lose at Whistling Straits, that's an abomination. That's the dream team.
And who are you going to kick off that team to get Tiger on this team?
Patrick Reed.
Well, that would be the obvious one, I guess. I mean, I guess you could dump Harris English and no one would care, but Harris English is very good at golf. It won't be like a Twitter storm.
What about Jordan?
You got to get English out of there for Spieth. And then I think that's your team.
Tiger's 23rd right now, by the way. He's behind Kevin Streelman. In case you were wondering.
who's just below? Can you scroll down, Jacob? We're watching this on YouTube. So we got Matthew Wolf, Kevin Kisner, Gary Woodland, Ryan Palmer. Yeah, the only thing I would do is just sub in Spieth for Harry E.
Okay, well then you can't get Spieth and Tiger on this.
Ooh, Scheffler would be fun.
Scheffler's one. So you're saying no room for Tiger.
Wait till Kokrak wins the PGA and he's a lock.
That'll be something. I just don't know.
I'm just saying, Strix and Tiger. Strix is his good buddy.
He can be not a playing. He can be like a coaching assistant.
Vice captain.
Would you rather have Maverick McNealy or Tiger?
I mean,
Tiger obviously.
We're assuming he's healthy.
He was so bad in Paris.
But he was so good in Melbourne.
I know. That's a great point.
He was the best player on the property.
Yeah. That's a good call. Besides,
let's get Will Zalatoris on this team.
But a lot has happened since then.
A lot has happened since then. I don't know where we've gone with this, but the Tiger, well, I guess we'll see. He has made a career of proving us wrong. He's made a career of doing things he shouldn't be able to do. I hope he's got one more in the tank and he can prove us all wrong and come back and look great by the time we get to the first full week in April.
Does Tiger play the Masters, Rick? Yes or no?
No.
Greg?
Yes.
Kyle?
I think I'll say no. I mean, think about last year. Like he played Riviera and then he didn't play Players. He didn't play Bay Hill. Like, and that wasn't,
he had a stiff
even
neck.
I know. That wasn't even as big a deal as this. So I'll say no, but I understand why you would say yes. Like I could see that happening also.
You force the issue a little bit more for that tournament.
That's okay. It's all good. The one thing I do not get fired for talking more about is Tiger Woods. So no worries there. there is a newish event next week. So the WGC Mexico is now going to be in Bradenton, Florida. It is now going to be known as the World Golf Championship Workday Championship at the Concession, which is terrible. And it'll be held at the Concession, which is in Bradenton, Florida, Greg. It is a Jack Nicklaus design. It is named after the famous Concession of the 2-foot putt between him and Tony Jacklin. Thank you. My brain malfunctioned. Tony Jacklin, 2-foot putt, 1969 Ryder Cup. Everybody's here. 72 of the top players in the world. Everybody in the top 10. No cut. Ready to rock and roll.
So Tony Jacklin and Jack Nicklaus, they co-designed it. We're actually tomorrow on Course Record. Tony Jacklin's going to join the show. So it'll what be a pool. You may get tomorrow at 7. You may get a little bit of insight into the golf course. But apparently, from what I hear about the golf course, is it's somewhat generous off the tee. It's not like some of these other Florida courses where it's extremely penal just off the fairways, and it's more of a second shot golf course, and the greens are quite complex. I did hear that there's somewhat of a balance between left to right holes and right to left holes, which, you know, Jacklin had an influence on because Jack likes him to move to the right. That's what he likes. So it'll be very interesting to see. I have a hard time leaning one way or another. So I got to go with some recent. I think DJ is going to be the guy to beat again. I know that's brave. Yet another brave take. But he's the guy that I'm looking at.
They should just stay at Riviera and play there again.
That was actually way more course knowledge than I thought you were going to have, Greg. You are well studied, my friend. Thank you.
I'm trying to get ahead of things.
For helping us with that. Jordan Spieth back in. No, he's not in next week, right? KP? He's not playing.
Is he not?
Wasn't last I checked. I didn't. I haven't checked since this tournament ended. I don't know what he comes.
I think the only guy that got in was Homa, right? That was the only spot, I thought.
I think you're right.
I'd have to look into this. But everybody is here, KP. This starts it, and now an extended Florida swing. So like guys like Daniel Berger, who took off last week, they get to go home, tee it up 4 straight weeks. He's probably not going to play all 4, but Spieth is not in the field, says producer Jacob.
Huh.
Right? Because what's his world ranking now?
I love the sort of dividing line between West Coast and Florida. Like we're very much done with West Coast, on to Florida. And West Coast was sick. I mean, yes. I just saw this tweet by Ryan Labner, which I think I'm going to write something along these lines tomorrow. We had the the Patty Reed at Torrey. We had Brooks's back. So is Spieth. Berger as a major threat now. And then Homa winning Riviera. And I'm skipping all the Hawaii's. Joaquin Niemann, you know, lighting up Hawaii. Like there was a... It was awesome. Like, and maybe it's always like this and I just forget and, you know, do that whole thing. But I thought the West Coast swing was a ton of fun, and, you know, hopefully Florida will be the same before Augusta.
No, you're not like imagining this. Like 60% of golf tournaments are pretty boring down the stretch. We've had a run where they've been phenomenal. Like James Hahn meltdown, Nate Lashley meltdown, the Reed situation, the Berger. We got this, but like, it's really good right now. Yeah. It's really, really good. One and done stuff. Hold on. Let's do the super contest update real quick. So coach won the week.
Let's not.
Yeah. Coach won the week. Kyle, you actually made money this week. You made $16 on your 100. So that's a 16% ROI. We all had that Adam Scott over Hideki Matsuyama matchup, which was good, but I'm trying to look for any other notables here.
I got, how about this? I got Rom over DJ at the very, very, very end.
Wow. I had a DJ over Rom and McIlroy, which I thought was just so like such an easy one. And
it should have been.
I saw Rom going nuts. I said, there's still no way. DJ, there's still no way. Oh, no. And go ahead.
Well, no, you finish.
I was going to say there were a couple. These things always have a way of coming down to the nail biter. Cam Smith's the Australian. I had him as top Australian, and he's doing great. Oh, he's definitely Adam Scott's nowhere near. He's definitely going. And all of a sudden, Matt Jones is popping up, making all kinds. And say, what is going on here? And then Matt Jones made a triple on 12. But so many sweats.
I actually think, Kyle, I think you did better than producer Jacob is giving you credit here for. I have you. Did Xander finish in the top 20?
I didn't.
Yeah, he did. Okay, so you have Xander in the top 20, which you got. Adam Scott over Hideki, which you got. John Rahm over Dustin Johnson, which you got. And your best bet was, oh, sorry, producer Jacob, my sincerest apologies. I thought it was Tony Finau over Victor Hovland. It was Victor Hovland over Tony Finau, but Hovland played great, dude. He's going to win next week. That's
it's such a dagger for him to finish T5 and then Finau, you know, closes with the 64. But yeah, I'm in on making fewer bets. I think that's the way to go. Cause I'm not trying to follow everyone. There's just like three guys that I follow.
When you have 12 bets, you're rooting for everyone and against everyone.
Yeah. It's not even fun. Yeah. Yeah.
One and done. Oh mama. We had some movement in the one and done. So first of all, coach is up to 1.7 million because he got 151,000 from Jordan Spieth. Producer Jacob is up to 2.3 million. He got kind of a measly 40 grand from Adam Scott. KP, you and I now in kind of the mid $3 million range, thanks to Victor Hovland, we are making moves. What do you think about this? Go into a course that nobody knows next week. The inexperienced guys, is that a thing, or is DJ just going to like run roughshod again?
Don't they play concession like for college event? I think Hovland's played concession.
Probably has. DeChambeau won the 2015 amateur here.
I thought that was at Olympia Field. I think USA.
If it is, I have a lot of stuff to rewrite and re-record.
I think it was because they had that had that statue of his like weird looking face at Olympia Fields when they went to when they had the BMW there last year.
So what did Bryson win at?
He might have won an NCAA at concession. I bet he won NCAAs there because he won the NCAAs in 15 also.
Sorry. Yes. It was the NCAA. Yes.
Yeah.
That final was at the concession. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
That was skinny Bryson.
Very really skinny Bryson. Very skinny Bryson.
So is that even the same? Does that mean anything, or is that just completely irrelevant now?
No, it's like he's never played it before.
Yeah.
Mark is no longer in the lead.
Where is Mark?
I don't know. He's no longer in the lead, so he's avoiding avoiding the spot. 4.3 million because he got 40,000 from Adam Scott, and it is Greg Ducharme who has taken the lead, 4.7 million because he got a cool $1 million from hunky Tony Finau. Congrats, Greg.
I don't even know what to do with that applause. Am I happy? I feel back at home on top of the leaderboard here, but I'm still I'm disappointed.
In yourself or Tony?
In Tony. I thought, you know, you just a couple of weeks ago, Kyle, I think it was at Farmers when you played Finau and got, what would you get, a T2 out of him? It was like, that's the best.
That's the ceiling.
I think that's like the ceiling. That's almost as good as you can do.
You got a solo. You got a solo.
Yeah, I know. So it's great, right? So you make a cool mil, which is great. But it's so disappointing. Maybe that is the ceiling.
You saw that ball against the tree on 10 and you were already counting the one and done money.
Counting it up. It's over.
Everybody was. It was over. It was over.
Yeah. Even before that, when he made the putt on 16, I started counting. I had a lot to count, so I was still counting when the ball was behind the tree.
Greg, you know, it wasn't your actual money, right? have you ever been in a tournament or an event like that where you just do something insane, like miss a 40-inch putt? And then you have to go play the next hole or go to a playoff. Like, have you ever had an experience like that? And if so, like, how do you, like, mentally, like, what's going on?
Things start going fast. So I never in an event that's nearly as big as this. Like, never in a stroke play event. It's happened in matches.
You've never done it in an event as
invitational.
Thank you.
I know, that's surprising.
Are you sure? Really think hard about it.
Yeah, it was a slightly smaller scale. The reason I get confused because there's no fans at either. So both events have no fans. it's only happened in individual matches. But when this kind of thing happens, when somebody does something unexpected, whether it's in your favor or against you, either way, it things start to move fast. Like I would imagine that's it's hard for Finau when Homa misses that putt. It's a little bit surprising. And it you aren't necessarily prepared for it. But again, I talked about this when Coach was on. You have to be prepared for it. You have to expect you always have to be ready for the least optimal situation to happen. So when Homa hits it in there close, you can't say this is over. You have to be ready to go. What am I going to do on 10? Where's the playoff hole? Am I ready to go just in case? And it's easy to say, oh, okay, well, he beat me. And then when he hits it behind a tree, you have to say, okay, well, he's going to get that up and he might hole it, right? I have to make three. I have to make three here no matter what, because he's at least going to make four. So things start moving really fast and it's difficult, especially on a stage like this. You can, I can tell you from experience, it's very, very hard to settle back down.
We're messing with you, but that's really good perspective because that's not that's not a perspective that I have. So I think that's helpful.
Here's what we'll head out on, gentlemen. Justin Ray just tweeted, since the start of last season, players to lead by one or two strokes entering the final round have won X out of 23 times. What do you think that number is?
So they lead by one or two?
One or two shot lead. It's been 23 times since the start of last season. Someone has entered the final round by up either one or two strokes. How many times out of 23 have they won?
Nine.
I was going to say eight.
Eight. Four.
Wow.
They disintegrate 17% of the time. These guys, those two strokes or one stroke, it disappears in an instant. It's unbelievable stuff.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Riviera week, gentlemen. Anything else before I talk us out of here?
Yeah, Rick, you got to talk about the DraftKings.
Oh.
Did he win?
Yeah, I did. So I was the only one with a 6 of 6. Sia Nejad was holding the lead for the vast majority of the week, but had a missed cut. I think Luke List was his missed cut. So there are $108 new dollars in my pocket because it is winner take all. And I thank you all for your service.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Okay. That is
Greg's. Awesome. You can count Greg's money now.
All right, that's it. We're done. That'll do it for this episode of The First Cut. Producer Jacob, thank you very much. That's Greg Ducharme, who you can find on Twitter at TheRealGFD. That's Kyle Porter, who you can find at Kyle Porter CBS. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.